Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
This is the problem, is I want to talk about the NBA restart, and we have some news on the times, the actual times, for games when play will resume. But we're sitting here right now, Mike Golic Jr., Janae Agwumike, Jordan Cornette in with us today, former Fighting Irish basketball legend. Now you can see him all over the ACC.
No, that's what we do here. You are a legend, Junior is a star, yes. And I'm an all-star. That's
this is a good
how
time
we're creating
show.
History.
This is vibes. The vibes are real.
Janae always makes sure to remind, like, Janae's an actual all-star. But I said for us, Jordan, as soon as we get done playing, the more and more time that goes on, the better my career becomes in retrospect.
I love that. I was about to say, where's the gas with Janae? That's legitimately what she is when you refer to her that way.
Zero gas, no
I appreciate
breaks.
The sauce over here, though. Legend. I can get used to that.
Legend, exactly. So I've got these two legends here with us right now, and both, you know, Jordan, former hoops player at Notre Dame. Janae, as we mentioned, current WNBA star. And I want to ask you guys, because we got this announcement, and I saw our very own Tim Bontemps tweet, the NBA has announced its schedule for this weekend. After the NBA Players Association and the league had agreed on a restart, they now will have Bucks Magic, the first game being played at 3:30 p.m. on Saturday. Remember, the Bucks were the team originally that refused to take the court and started this tidal wave of events. Saturday, that's going to be followed by Thunder's Rockets and then Lakers Blazers. Sunday, we'll get Celtics Raptors at 1 p.m., followed by Clippers Mavericks and then Jazz and Nuggets at 8:30 p.m. So today, just hearing all of that and seeing what's transpired in the last couple days, we've been working through it on air. How do you ultimately feel about the NBA players getting back on the court, the WNBA players eventually getting back on the court here?
Yeah, they're getting on the court today, the WNBA, and then obviously tomorrow for the NBA. And the way I feel is I know, because hearing the conversations that were happening in real time, actually reading through the conversations in real time on our show while we were doing our show, I know all the players want to play. I think the emotional distress that they were in, not only processing on Sunday what happened to Jacob Blake, checking in on their family and friends and their community members while they're not able to do that physically now, it was a lot for them to manage in real time, which is why we saw the stoppage of play. But during all those conversations, I think all the players understood that their collective platform is the most important. Playing basketball is the vehicle in which they really can create change and put out messages. And they went through all this work, all this sacrifice to leave their family and friends and go into the bubble. And I know it seems like a little, it might seem superficial to some because they're like, this is not necessarily essential work, but this is work that we're hoping to do to help brighten your day as well. And so we understand the power of playing basketball after we've worked so hard to negotiate this bubble and play. Everyone wanted to do that. I think they just needed a few beats to process their emotions, because for so long, imagine after the feelings and sentiments, we saw so many videos, we heard grown men and grown women cry, literally cry on air the last few days. Now I think it's, you're back to compartmentalizing. And I think after having this time to breathe and to sit and to be together and to realize that we're all in this together, we're creating the change we want to see. We heard the actionable items from the NBA. You will hear the actionable items very soon from the WNBA. Now that they're back there, they probably feel comfortable enough to continue playing, because Jordan, you know, sports is all about nuances. If you lose track of your mind while you're playing, you can be injured. You can make a mistake. You will miss a shot. You have to be locked in from the moment you walk into the arena to when you leave. And so I think that's what we're seeing now. They feel comfortable. They've talked through it. They're there for each other. And now they want to play.
Today, yo, that's it. I mean, I'm thinking about the focus that you just mentioned. And I think about Doc Rivers talking about his Clippers team. Of course, the tears and the poignant feeling that we can all relate to in some degree in these last few days and, heck, in these last few months. Heck, at any point in our lives being black. But I think about the comments he made about his Clippers team, talking about it's going to be really challenging. They come to grips that there was going to be no postseason. And now here we are having to get geared back up to play. Oh, by the way, the Clippers are the team I picked to win the championship. And that seems kind of trivial at this point as we're talking about what's truly going on here and what they're truly becoming activists before our eyes, because that's what's happening. These athletes are becoming activists and powerful voices. To get back in there and play basketball, it feels trivial for us to talk about. So if that's the approach for me as a voice, I can only imagine what these players are having to do. That being said, I do take great solace, Mike, in the fact that their families will be joining them here soon. That is paramount in this whole thing.
Jordan, I would say paramount. You have a 13-year-old son. Like, paramount. Could you imagine being away from him this long for something
and
like
not
this?
Feeling like there's any way you can go see him?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the part that I just think is absolutely incredible. I think that's being lost upon a lot of people here with these emotions as they're kind of bubbling up to the surface to not have that escape of your family. That'll be huge in terms of these guys getting able and women being able to get back to focusing in on playing.
Jordan, you're you know, unlike us in the sense that you actually have children. What conversation have you had with your son since the Jacob Blake video came out?
It hasn't been a lot of me telling. It's been a lot of me listening. I've let him speak to, I'm curious to hear through his lens what he's seeing as a 13-year-old, because let me tell you, he's got a very astute observation on a lot of things that are going on. What I simply tell him is the facts. And I tell him the facts are, growing up in this world, the same things that I've told him from years leading up to him being a 13-year-old. There's going to be people that look at you and think that you're less human than others. Oh, yeah, I know that sounds crazy, but that's the world. And I see so many fathers and men and women of color get up here and cry. And I've shed those tears too many times. I've lost my brother to a heart attack in 2016. And that loss, in that I learned, be strong for those who need to see you at your strongest. So I'm not faulting anybody that's shed tears at all. I'm just saying I try not to show that in front of my son, because I want him to know that we need strength. We have to be resilient, because you will be challenged. And this world can be ugly. And I think the sooner you learn that, the more important it is of a lesson for them to maneuver in this world. So I'm trying to build my son up to be strong, but also let him know it's okay to show emotion, because it's an emotional time.
And I think we've seen that range of responses from inside the NBA bubble right now, right? Because what we saw was a lot of that emotion. That was the reason everyone kind of understood. And if they didn't, search yourself for a second to realize that these guys, with all of this happening around them, these men and women with all this happening around them, in a foreign environment inside these bubbles, there was going to be a wide range of ways that you process this. But the strength that you talked about was displayed in what they did going forward in such a short amount of time. I mean, hell, the Bucks were on the phone with elected officials inside of the locker room. Chiney was on a show yesterday doing calls in the middle of the last 2 days during breaks with the executive committee for the WNBA PA. And so I feel like those are instances of the strength that now goes forward with results that we've seen in the NBA, the actionable items that they've come.
And that's
here.
Where I kick it back to you, Chiney. I mean, you talk about strength, the strength of a black woman. I mean, life is multitasking for them. So I'm no surprise that Chiney was able to juggle. Oh, by the way, this incredibly new, awesome show, but also her role in the league and being that voice. For you, what were you hearing from players? What was going through your mind? Because you had to compartmentalize being a black woman, but then you have to turn and be a leader and also a voice in media. I mean, talk about juggling a lot.
Yeah, it was a lot, but I have a great teammate that helped me, and he carries us a lot, you know, bring us in and all that type of stuff. But I was getting texts live about, does this mean we are going home? Does this mean I should go home? Do you feel like it would be appropriate if I go home, or I want to stay on the other side of the spectrum? I need to get paid for my family. What is happening in real time? And I was conveying those sentiments to our executive committee in the sense of talking to my sister and saying, look, and it sounds quite crazy. I don't even know if it's appropriate, but like in that moment, I was like, Neck, you know, the men have stopped playing. And it looks like there's mixed emotions. Like, it looks like y'all just need to take a beat. Take a beat. Whatever you decide, whether it's, you know, delaying the games for a couple of hours or just delaying the games till the next day, take a beat. And so all of that in real time, while also trying to convey people the value of black women, especially in a moment where black women, if you look historically, financially, we make, I think, 62 cents on the white man's dollar. We're in a situation where they're in a bubble and they want to be valued and seen for what they care about, which is their communities. But also there's financial implications where we want our owners and our coaches to also, you know, see us as well. There are just so many different nuances that we address on different accounts. And just to be a vehicle, and also like the best part of my day, obviously yesterday, was seeing Lisa Leslie, but also the executive committee members that looked completely different, right? Different women. And that's why we say the WNBPA and the WNBA is, I'm every woman. You know what I mean? Like, you have every type of woman in the WNBA. You have Sue Bird up there. You have Natalie Achong, and you have my sister. But through all of everyone's individual motivations in that moment to get home or to stay or to create, you know, a social moment, they all agreed on a common ground. And that, to me, was the most important.
She hit that Whitney Houston note there, by the way.
Oh, yeah. I definitely missed that.
You caught that, right?
I can do better. Nevermore.
Ooh.
Oh, that's a little
okay.
You know, no more statue? Okay.
I mean.
Set the mood here on a Friday.
What more can this woman do for
you? She's showing it off.
Before
Stop
you
it.
Will all realize Seriously. What's happening
legend,
in front
Mike,
of you.
Legend, Mike. Like you said, legend.
Legend. I tell you. Janae Golic Jr. is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Call or click today and find out if we could save you hundreds on your car insurance. All right, coming up next, I need to talk about a couple of things. One, the wobble. Two, the Big Ten and a word of caution as they proceed forward here, plus a tribute to a couple of legends, and we will get to that next. It's Janae Golic Jr., Mike Golic Jr., Janae Gumake, and Jordan Cornette next here on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Shocking developments during the break lead me to have to ask an important question here, because it's Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And we're going to get to one and done here in a second. Our one big thought for the day, Jordan, I wanted to call the show one and done because Janae was a number one overall pick, and I am done playing sports. And so I figured it'd be a nice, you know, weaving of the worlds here.
That's
but
a miss, I feel like, not going with that name.
Feels like a miss, but we turned it into a segment, one big topic that we're fired up on, and we have some really good tributes coming up today. But for anyone that doesn't know, Mike Golic Jr. here, former Notre Dame football player, Janae Gumake, former Stanford hoop star, and Jordan Cornette, former Notre Dame hoop star. So we got two Domers in the room and one Stanford Cardinal in here. Like, Janae, we got a good basketball program in South Bend on the women's side. Like, why didn't you feel like coming over and hanging out with us?
I knew I was not going to go to Notre Dame when I landed in South Bend and saw snow for the first time. And I looked outside and, like, wiped off the window. I was like, where am I? And the second time, and granted, I love, like, the women's basketball program, Muffet McGraw, Skylar Diggins, Devereaux Peters, Natalie Toma, love them, right? But when I knew the second time was when we went to a party on campus, and it was a pajama party, and they bought me the most ugly pajamas ever. So I'm trying to be there. I'm in high school trying to go to this party. I everything was good there at the party. Come on, Notre Dame. We know how we hold the rules at campus. Sort of these days. I was, like, so embarrassed to be a high schooler there in the ugliest pajamas trying to look cute. And I was like, y'all, they must really not want me coming here, because they gave me, like, my pajamas were, like, two sizes too small.
Is that a violation? Like, I hope they won't go too deep into that. I mean, are we allowed to buy those for?
How many recruits have we lost to the weather?
No, they probably were used pajamas or something. Like, they were probably someone else's
that's
pajamas.
Vintage
there
shopping.
We go. Well done there. You can't catch us now, NCAA. You've already got my wins. You can't take anything else from me.
Didn't win a championship anyways. Dang it, me. And they ended up doing it. So I probably should.
Right.
You know,
people don't forget. Janae Golic Jr.
Don't forget.
Reminding you to tune in for an NL East rivalry this Sunday as the Phillies host the Braves, presented by Geico. Coverage of Sunday Night Baseball begins at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and at 7 p.m. on ESPN. All right, we failed to recruit Janae to Notre Dame. We're going to have to work on it as the show goes along. At least she hangs out with us now. But in the meantime, none of us were one and done, but we get a chance to be in this segment. Let's go.
So much to say.
Are you good? Like, do you need a minute to breathe? Do you need some water?
So little time.
I'm trying to balance a lot right now.
One and done.
All right, guys, I'll kick this party off because you guys have some pretty serious tributes today that are really, really appropriate and really worthwhile to just really give a word of advice and caution to the Big Ten. Tread lightly here with what you do next, because we heard news and rumblings that the Big Ten athletic directors and coaches were meeting together, having conversations about when resumption of play might take place. And while the most likely option still seems to be sometime after January, there is growing momentum around the idea of restarting play around Thanksgiving. And my only thought to that would be, guard yourselves right now, because this is not a conversation taking place at the level of the university presidents and the conference commissioner, Kevin Warren, who has taken a lot of heat. But if it does get to that point, come correct this time and don't make the same mistakes of your past. Whatever you do going forward better come with a fair amount of information, engagement, and overall collaboration, not just at the president level, but providing that to your athletes, your coaches, and their parents, who we've all seen rise up with a fair amount of anger, understandably, because of the lack of any of that in the process that's led up to this. So whatever happens with the Big Ten, do it better than you've been doing it now.
Yeah, Mike, I absolutely love that one. I'll go ahead and take the reins here next. Great stuff. As we celebrate Jackie Robinson Day, which typically would be April 15th to celebrate the day Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier. Obviously, baseball was not playing then, so they celebrated today, August 28th, coinciding with a lot of history in black culture today. So I love that they're doing that. Obviously, Jackie Robinson is an incredible hero. I'm not taking anything away from Jackie Robinson. Studied him very closely. Wore the number 42 in honor of Jackie Robinson when I played the sport of baseball. He is a legend. He is an icon to culture. And for a lot of reasons, black people in sport would not be where they are if it was not for him today. However, I'd like to educate everybody on the fact that we all know a lot of Jackie Robinsons out there. Maybe they didn't get the run. Maybe they didn't get the praise. Maybe they didn't get the fanfare that Jackie Robinson got. But understand this. Anybody black in society today is a hero of some sort. Given the obstacles in front of us, given all the things that are set up in this country to keep us down, when I look at people in my life, when I look at my mother, who became a successful businesswoman through the 80s and 90s, sits on boards now. When I look at my father, who was a successful businessman in his own right, and has raised three black men in this country to understand respect and the values and morality that comes with being a cornet and wearing our name. Those are my Jackie Robinsons in this world. There's a lot of them out there maneuvering through this world. So when I look to my left and I look to my right and I see black people who are making it and achieving in this world, I am awed by that because they are legends in their own right. So as we celebrate Jackie Robinson, we absolutely should for all that he has achieved. Understand this. All of us have to fight to be good and to be great in this country. All of us will continue to fight in this country. And when we look up and we see people like Jackie Robinson in the number 42 jersey, understand that he is one in a long line of people who have achieved that are set up to fail in this country.
Mm. Give it to him. Give it to him. Powerful stuff, Jordan. Powerful stuff. And a great reminder as we celebrate today. And certainly, Chiné, we also mourn a bit today, but still have a chance to celebrate an incredible life of someone very important to a lot of people in sports.
Absolutely. As you know, I'm a proud member of the Pac-12. I went to Stanford, not Notre Dame, Pac-12, went to Stanford, where I was lucky to meet a lot of really cool people. And one person that was the sweetest, I was introduced to him by Lindy LaRocque, my former teammate and now the current UNLV women's basketball head coach, and her family after one of our games. She introduced me to Lou Olson, a kind man with a kind smile and welcome wisdom. Coach Lou Olson is one of our generation's greatest coaches. He spent the majority of his coaching career coaching the Arizona Wildcats, where he brought Arizona to 5 Final Fours and 1 national championship. He has won several Coaches of the Year honors, including 7-time Pac-10 Coach of the Year. He was inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame in 2002. He also was inducted into the College Basketball Hall of Fame as well. Now, Lute, he was not just a great coach making great players. He was a great man who helped shape great men. Richard Jefferson, our colleague, Andre Iguodala, Steve Kerr, Channing Frye, Mike Bibby, and so many others. The world of sports will miss you dearly, but your legacy lives on through so many others.
Yeah, I love that you mentioned him, Chiné, because Coach Olson, I was lucky enough to be one of those who was recruited by Arizona. A lot of people would say, well, why didn't you go there? I fell in love with Notre Dame. But he was a very, very kind man. You look at him visually and you see just he looks friendly. He looks like a guy that you want to be around, that you want to play for. He looks like a class gentleman. I promise you that's who he was when he was recruiting me. I was lucky enough to have an opportunity to consider playing there. Every player I talked to that played for Lute Olson said the same thing. I'd run through a wall for that guy. He was such a kind human being. He will be missed. So we talk about what's going on in this country today. Probably need more Lute Olsons out there.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So certainly rest in peace. Prayers with everybody who knew and loved Lute Olson. Obviously an incredible life, an incredible legacy that he leaves behind. So we'll continue to celebrate that as the day goes forward there. Great stuff by you guys. And excited to be joined next now by another one of our friends. We get to sit here and hang out on a Friday on Chiné and Golic Jr. Dan Orlovsky is going to stop by with us and tell us why people might even be limiting the potential impact of the GOAT this coming NFL season. Mm. And Dan will not stand for that. We'll tell you why next. It's Chiné and Golic Jr., Mike Golic Jr., Chiné Agbumike, and Jordan Cornette here on ESPN Radio.
Chiné and Golic Jr., the podcast.
It's Chiné and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests join us on the show, Pennzoil Performance Line, Mike Golic Jr., Chiné Agbumike, Jordan Cornette, sitting with us, hanging out on a Friday, man. The time is flying by. I need to hang out with you guys more often. Good Lord.
This is some Friday fun.
so far we haven't dropped the ball on our three-man weave turnovers. Like, it's been great.
This is pretty solid. So let's bring in a fourth to the three-man weave here. And he's a guy who claims that he can hoop a fair amount here. Dan Orlovsky, our ESPN NFL analyst, joins us now on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Pennzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil based on Sequence 4A wear testing using SAE 5W30. You can catch Dan as part of the new NFL live crew every Monday through Friday at 4 o'clock Eastern. Dan, are you like every other quarterback who thinks they can hoop?
Well, I mean, a lot of them think they can. A lot of them can't. I'm the one who can, or one of the few that can. Like, listen, I'm my game, if I had to, like, if I had to give you, like, a guy's game that I would be like, it's very similar to Luka's. You know, I'm not going to I'm not going to be flashy athletically, but
really?
Crafty,
Are you sure, Dan?
But he's just one of the best to do it.
Tough, physical, try-hard guy, fouls to give, rebounder, just bang around.
The last time we talked about hoops, you ran away from the challenge of us going one-on-one, Dan. So, I mean, I don't – we have a whole segment about keep that same energy.
That's weird. Janae, I'm on campus. Like, if you're here, we could hoop right now.
And
I've
and
got
you're not,
Cole Hans on. So.
You're not giving the whole story because you're talking about Cole Hans. I told you I could beat you in heels, but continue.
Ooh. I'm here for this.
Do we want to restart this conversation? Like, do we feel like
– you know what? Let's reset this civilly. It's Janae Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We are delighted to talk to – Dan Orlovsky, our ESPN NFL analyst here. Dan, you were blowing up a group chat with me, you, and Mina Kimes this morning, who is also on NFL Live with you, saying that you had a Tom Brady stat that was going to blow everybody's mind. So I am ready to have my mind blown. What about Tom Brady have I been missing for the last 20 years?
Well, no, it's going to be tied to, like, his impact on the Bucs. And we've all heard, at least over the last 5 months, since the decision was made, X, Y, and Z. And so a lot of people that point to the Bucs and they go, yeah, but their offensive line, right? Last year, just last year, when the ball had to get held between 2 and 3 seconds, right? So the average snap in the NFL is about 2.5 seconds. When Jameis held the ball and released it between 2 and 3 seconds, so not quick screens or whatever, he threw for 13 touchdowns and 24 picks. Tom Brady, in that very same situation, again, not these dink and dunks that are crafty plays, but like when a quarterback's got to get through a progression, 16 touchdowns and 2 picks. What I'm trying to get everyone to understand is like that offensive line is better than people think. Jameis hurt that offensive line a lot last year by the inability to get off one or start at the wrong side and then take so long to get through and enforce panic throws. So Tom Brady is going to not only make those receivers, and he'll be the benefactor, but make those receivers really good, that offensive line is going to play much better than people expect because of the way he understands how to get through stuff.
Dan, you're the GOAT for allowing us to have fun before. But speaking of GOATs, we're going from Tom and the GOAT to the baby GOAT, Lamar Jackson, and obviously the Ravens organization. Now, we all read the strong statement coming out of Baltimore regarding actionable items for social justice. Now, that is just one team right now. What is, one, your reaction to the statement, and also, two, the expectation for, you know, a number of teams moving forward?
Yeah, big time. I was just so impressed by the Ravens. And hearing the statement, you guys know this. You guys have all been in locker rooms. A lot of times, the owners of organizations, like, they set what your organization is going to be about, right? Like, hey, this is our organization. This is what we do. This is how we handle ourselves, X, Y, and Z. In 2011, I had a coach, Jim Caldwell, when I was playing for the Colts, was the first coach that ever sat us in a meeting room and said, fellas, this is your team. Like, this is your team. And reading the statement out of Baltimore, it made me feel like Steve Bisciotti went to the players and said, this is your organization. And that doesn't happen. Like, it just felt like he went to them and said, utilize me. Tell me what to do, and we're doing it. And it just – like, if I was a Baltimore Raven, today I'm walking in that building just feeling so energized and, like, proud in a way, I would say. And so I don't know how the 31 other organizations look at that and don't match it or do something very similar. That's the standard now. And I don't know how 31 other teams don't – organizations don't look at it and be like, we got to do something like that. Like, we've got to go and walk side by side with them. And so I think the reality is this: there's 29 out of 31 organizations, excluding the Packers, there's 29 billionaire owners. They need to allow their players to come to them and say, what are you doing? How are you helping? And what's the action you're taking? Because it's right now is the time.
Yeah, Dan, I think you're absolutely spot on. Right now is the time, and I think these owners are probably on red alert because they understand how far the athletes are willing to go. We heard from Russell Wilson earlier this morning on local radio out there in the Pacific Northwest, and he was basically speaking about his plight as a black man, something very relatable for me as I listened to his words. But he also spoke to, hey, if we're in the middle of the football season and the Seahawks were scheduled to play on Wednesday night, you best believe we would not have been playing. And that leads me to the bigger question, because the football season, we're inching closer and closer to it. Understanding the relationships with several players and several owners not being the most savory, do you think that this is still a real issue that if they can't get on the same page, we might see some of these same steps taken within the NFL?
Oh, of course. You know, if you look at the NBA, I believe some of the steps that the NBA took was to devote some ad times in the games to civic situations that are going on and then create that social coalition. Like, there's been some action that has allowed the NBA players to go, okay, well, we will resume these games. So the players aren't just going to sit there and allow the owners right now just to kind of skate by. I honestly don't expect that. I think that the players are going to be demanding, again, 29 billionaire owners, that there are some actions. But I would say this, and I was listening to Tom Telesco, who's the general manager of the Chargers today on Pat McAfee's show, and he said, why can't we do both? You know, he said so often we as the NFL and athletes, we just focus on our own little box that we're going to go charge forward through, especially during the season. And he had said, why can't we do both? Why can't we play the games but also continue to put this into play and keep the momentum forward in doing both? And so my hope is that, you know, the NFL as a whole presses forward with games and everything that is going on right now, that the black community and the black athlete is pushing forward. I'm hoping that both of those can happen.
Absolutely, Dan. I think that's something that everyone's keeping their eye on going forward here, that continued response and that continued collective effort in all of this. Dan, we appreciate the time, man. We look forward to continuing to check you out on NFL Live and setting up a game of Cole Haans versus Heels at some point.
Oh, I appreciate being on with you guys tonight. Anytime. I got buckets, so yeah. Any time.
I know you do. Ooh. I'm just giving you a hard time. But also, congrats, Dan. We love seeing you on NFL Live.
Dan Doncic has a nice ring to it.
Dan Doncic. Okay.
I mean, it does have a nice
ring. We're both from, like, the motherland. So, like, oh, know, like...
Incredible stuff. Again, catch him and the rest of that crew. A great new NFL Live lineup they've rolled out there. Excited to see that. But coming up next, speaking and staying in the NFL, we have to ask an important question of the NFL as it relates to the Washington football team. When is it going to be enough? We'll get to that next after this word from DraftKings. Everybody listen up. DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports, is celebrating the return of sports by giving away up to $100 million in prizes to all their customers, including one lucky winner is going to take home $1 million cash prize. To claim your share of up to $100 million in instant giveaways, all you got to do, download the app and sign up using promo code CJR. Then enter DraftKings' free football survivor pool. It's an easy way to claim your share of up to $100 million in instant giveaways and put yourself in the running to win that $1 million cash prize. Don't forget to check out all the great daily fantasy contests DraftKings is hosting for this week's basketball and golf action. Download the DraftKings app now and use promo code CJR to claim your share of $100 million in instant giveaways and put yourself in the running for $1 million cash top prize. That's promo code CJR. Get your share of that $100 mil. Only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Back after this. It's Chenay and Golic Jr.
Chenay and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the show, Pennzoil Performance Line. Our thanks to Dan Orlovsky, our ESPN NFL analyst, for joining us in that last segment. Mike Golic Jr., Chenay Igwumike, Jordan Cornett hanging out with us today. And this segment, we know this is something everyone's fired up on here. So Coming In Hot is brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. Let's get ready to go.
Your team got you down.
It's very sad and very frustrating.
We got you, because now is your time.
It is an absolute abomination.
Coming In Hot with Chenay and Golic Jr.
And this one, I mean, understandably so. This isn't just a franchise's fan base that's upset with this team, but really the entire league, as the Washington football team is dealing with a fresh round of allegations now about misconduct towards female employees of that organization, now 42 in all, that have come forward in this. And it prompted our own Katie Nolan, you can check out on Always Late with Katie Nolan, as well as a number of other TV shows around the network, to talk about this yesterday when she spoke.
Yeah, what should the NFL do? Well, if they truly believe in this phrase that they use as a coverall for anything they want to punish, conduct detrimental, then they have to punish them, because this is conduct detrimental to your organization. The problem is, and what we've talked about before, is I just don't think enough people see what Washington is doing within the doors of their organization as detrimental. I think we're so quick to write it off as like, well, men, you know, you can't put a bunch of naked women at a photo shoot around men and not expect them to want to see naked women. Then don't have a naked photo shoot. Like, I don't know what to tell you at this point. If these are women that are going to their jobs and trying to do actual work, and you're saying that because of their attractiveness, you can't get your job done, you need to understand that that is a you problem. The way that they had things scripted in their conduct policy was that women weren't allowed to go to certain places within the building because they have to stay away from men because the temptation was too strong. The entire view of the situation is so backwards that it's very difficult to figure out how to fix it. I'm so upset and so angry, and there's so much in this story, and I don't want to miss any of it, like 25 new women accusing more people within that organization of sexual harassment, and Dan Snyder himself being directly implicated with a video being made that he was said to have asked them to make of behind the scenes of a naked. There's so much in there that I can't possibly address while also allowing three other people to speak.
Yeah. I mean, I think this is one of those things. You come to work, and I'm a woman in the workplace, and you sometimes are like, wow, this is what we're up against at times. You hear from other women that sort of, you're like, why should this even happen? And Katie nailed it there in the sense that this is 17 women initially, or 17 additional women to the 25 that came a couple weeks ago. So now the count is at 42. And within the article, you know, she outlined it so well, but there was even a conduct policy restricting the movement of women in the building there to minimize their interaction of players with players, because what do they provoke in their interactions with players? The implicit nature in which that policy, it just is, it's just not tolerable. And the women there described an overwhelming sense of helplessness, and there was only one HR employee that felt also the weight of her job, you know, considering that the pressure she was feeling from above. So the issue is not with the women in the workplace. The issue is with the men who have exuded their dominance and the perception of the women in the workplace. As women, we are looked to far too often as distractions. We just heard this in the latest week's news cycle, where someone considered a woman a distraction in the sports world. And we look to our left and we look to our right, and we're like, wow, why is this still happening? This should not be the culture. And instead, you know, instead of being looked to as distractions, people need to see us. And this is what, where we're at in society, as human beings that are valuable contributors, contributions to the work environment. And for those who say that these are isolated incidences, I remind you, it's 42 women. And those are the women that felt comfortable enough to speak. And that tends to be at the lower end of the spectrum, not the higher end of the spectrum. And I guess the big picture that I always look to this here is that when it comes to the financial aspects of the league, and just, you know, sports bodies in general, they can audit teams financially, right? Like, they can make sure their business practices are standardized and that they're according to the standards that make sense and that really work to create harmony. But what about the moral aspects, the moral standards that you need to have in a work environment where women feel comfortable and they're not feeling judged? They can just go and do their jobs and not be held back by the perceptions, not that they're creating, it's the perceptions of the men that look at them and see them as less than. That's the reality of the nature in which a lot of women go to work. And it's not just in sports. This is just period. That's in the nature of the world we operate in. You know, I said it earlier today on the show, comparatively, the dollars we make for the same amount of work, whether you're a white woman and a black woman, while a black woman, it's severely less, but it's less. We are valued less. And to see these instances in which that value is not just financial, but it's also something moral, it just can't be tolerated.
Well, at this point, Chinee, like, bringing all that up is extremely worthwhile. And I understand the business sense, because that's what we always think in terms of the NFL, what it comes down to. But man, what more is it going to take with this team? like with Dan Snyder. What more do you need to hear, and from how many more people, how many more women do you need to hear from about this toxic environment? And I understand with the original 17 cases, it wasn't directly tied to Daniel Snyder, but man, you're either coaching it or you're allowing it to happen.
It's despicable, but it they're almost saying to you, annoying marginalized people, they're marginalizing women, saying, well, they don't play the sport, so they can't really push us up against the wall to do the right thing. That is disgusting in its own right.
Disgusting is putting it very kindly, and probably the only way we can phrase it on here without getting thrown off air.
Yeah.
Much more coming up next as we get back to the NBA's resumption of play next on Janae and Golic Jr.